Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
That's right. It is the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. And we're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios.
We'll do it live.
We got our man Randy Mueller, friend of the show, former NFL Executive of the Year, now a Fox Sports Radio NFL analyst. And he will join us in about 28 minutes. Until then, we are going to be on the mics dropping this knowledge. And Rob, we brought this up with Ephraim. Last night's game between the Tennessee Titans and the Buffalo Bills, really good game. Came down to the wire. Buffalo goes for it, 4th and 1, 22 seconds left. You and I both believe they should have kicked the field goal and then see what they do in overtime. They're not a very good red zone team. Their red zone efficiency rate is 26th in the league. And
hello. There you go, Chris.
Yep. And, I let Ephraim speak. We didn't get a chance to get totally into it. And, Rob, there were 22 seconds left when they went for it. So, if you get it, Rob G., what, they have one timeout left?
No timeouts.
Or no, was it no one timeout? They had one timeout left. So, you didn't have a lot of time to play with, Rob. You know, because now you got a new set of downs unless you
would probably would have only had one other play, Chris.
Right.
Unless it was an incomplete pass in the end zone or whatever. You know what I mean? But other than that, I think when you look at the AFC and some of these teams and where they are, you don't want to give up a game if you don't have to. That's all I'm saying. I would have taken my chances in overtime.
Well, Rob, you know what, too? The league has been in effect for now, 101 years? It's 101st season. For what, the first 99 years, you kicked the field goal.
Right.
Do you think that's fair? Because this is all pure analytics. And I get it. Sometimes it makes sense, right? You've seen teams, they're going for it a lot more on fourth down. It does add some excitement. And sometimes it's a smart move. So I'm not poo-pooing going for it on fourth. But I'm just saying that, you know, you live to see another day, and the day would have been right away in overtime. So, but we agree on that. But the story of the game outside of that last sequence was Derrick Henry, Rob. And you and I grew up in a time when this might be shocking, even for people Rob G's age, Rob, but certainly for the younger, you know, the 25-year-olds and all right. that. We grew up in a time when the glamour position in the NFL was running back.
Not that quarterbacks weren't big, but there were star running backs who were as big, if not bigger. Barry Sanders, Chris, you could talk about Barry Sanders. Emmitt Smith. And all the even back to your Steelers,
well, you
back
go
in
back,
the Franco Harris.
Franco, Jim Brown.
Jim Brown,
right?
Was a big time star.
O.J. Simpson.
Yes.
You know, Earl Campbell at that time. So you're right. I mean, obviously you had huge quarterbacks. Roger Staubach, Terry Bradshaw. Yeah, we're not saying they weren't. But it was probably even, would you say?
More so.
As far as what was the face of the game, yes. It was the running back and the quarterback.
And it depended on what team, Chris, you were talking about, which guy would get top billing. Barry Sanders was top billing for the Lions. No matter who was the quarterback, who was the biggest guy there, was Barry Sanders.
And we often saw running backs drafted. The best running back was the first pick in the draft. Now, I will say this. A great running back, and I think teams have gotten somewhat smart. A great running back doesn't mean you're going to have a great team. And they figured that out now. O.J. Simpson, Rob, played in one playoff game.
Right.
And he was
great
as
in Buffalo.
Good as it gets.
Great.
Right. Barry Sanders, what did he play in? Three?
Yep.
Three playoff games?
They were in the NFC Championship game. Chris, they got one playoff win since 1957. They beat the Dallas Cowboys with Emin and Michael Irvin and Troy Aikman in 1991. That was it, Chris. They you know what I mean? They beat them.
Eric Dickerson, arguably the best ever to do it, to carry the ball. And he didn't win a ring, didn't win a Super Bowl. He did play in 7 playoff games, but never won a Super Bowl. So I get that, but still, it was a day where the running backs ruled, or at least reigned, right next to the quarterbacks. And Derrick Henry's a throwback, Rob. They used to get it 25 to 30 times. The real dope running backs, they get it 25 to 30 times a game, and they'd run for over 100 yards.
Yep.
And now in Derrick Henry, you have really the last one standing. Even Zeke is not like him. Nick Chubb is great, but Nick Chubb still shares the backfield, right, with Kareem Hunt.
No, this is Derrick Henry's a one-man show,
yep,
and he is the focal point of that whole team. And he is a real, you just said it, a throwback to what we were accustomed to, and they've gotten away from it because this is just a throw-happy league now.
Yep.
And everything is throwing the ball, just everything. And that's why all these quarterbacks, Chris, who aren't that great are shattering the numbers of quarterbacks who were really good. Troy Aikman, right, who are passed up by a few also ran journeymans.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Right.
His numbers, at least touchdowns, are better than Troy Aikman. So, yeah, but here's the thing. So here's the question, Rob. Because the last running back to win the MVP award was Adrian Peterson in 2012. And he ran for over 2,000 yards. He didn't break the record. The all-time record is Eric Dickerson, 2,105 yards in a season. That was 1984. Now, for what it's worth, Dickerson did not win the MVP that year. But that was really only because Dan Marino, it was like he came from another planet that year. Right? The first quarterback, Rob, to throw for 5,000 yards.
No, he was unbelievable. Do you know who the first quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards?
Give me a hint.
Yeah,
give me a hint.
This is why he's in the Hall of Fame, because his numbers, it's because of
Namath.
This. Joe Namath, Chris.
Namath, yep.
Joe Namath was the first to throw for 4,000 yards. So when you look at Namath's numbers, you go, how's he in the Hall of Fame? Right. You're like, his numbers aren't that great, but
right.
A,
cringe.
First to throw for 4,000, and B, the guarantee that the Jets would be, and you know the Baltimore
right.
Colts were like 15-point favorites. Like it was like JV versus varsity as far as the Colts versus the AFL's Jets, you know?
Right,
and
right.
the Jets wind up
no,
winning
No, it was
Bowl.
Like a USFL team beating the NFL
yep.
champion, right?
And it helped
and then
the
they
merger.
Forced the merger, yep.
yep.
Exactly. Well, here, you mentioned Namath's numbers, Rob. Are you ready for this? Do you know his touchdown to interception situation?
I bet you had more interception than touchdowns. I'm just kidding.
Not only more, 47 more.
Wow. See, that's
he threw 173 touchdowns and 220 interceptions. Only a 50% completion percentage. But again, for all you young kids that are going to run around saying, Joe's name is stunk.
No.
It was a different game. Quarterbacks could get clobbered back
what
then.
What year did
and
he
so
do the 4,000? Do you have that?
1967.
Yeah, they weren't throwing the ball like that. That was huge.
Right. And that was, as you mentioned, in the AFL.
Right.
That was in the AFL. Yeah. But, yeah, so.
A lot of young listeners, they don't even realize there was two leagues.
Right. But, so, the question is this, Rob. And right now, Derrick Henry's on pace to break Eric Dickerson's single season record. He's on pace to run for 2,218 yards. So he would break the record. Now, again, Rob, it's 17 games, which could hurt him because he's not on pace to break it in 16. So let's keep that in mind.
That's not going to count for me. I'm sorry.
17 games? Well, no, I agree. I think that's going to hurt him. If he breaks it, and he breaks it in 17 games, people are going to be like, okay, you got the record, but it's not the same.
You know
what's
funny?
If he breaks it in 16, it's different. He's also on pace quickly to tie LaDainian Tomlinson's all-time single-season touchdown rushing record, 28. he would break it in 17 or tie it in 17, but wouldn't break it in 16.
There were people who tried to discount Hank Aaron when he broke Chris Babe Ruth's record. Babe Ruth played 154. Baseball was 154 games, and baseball turned into 162.
Right.
So they're saying, well, he had more games than Babe. The only problem is that Hank Aaron actually did it, Chris, in less at-bats than Babe Ruth.
Wow, okay.
You know what I mean? So you can't take the record from him.
Right.
Or say or put any kind of asterisk or say it ain't legit. He had less at-bats.
Right,
period.
That's a great point. And the thing is, and you know this, right, over time, and you're right, if Henry breaks it in 17 games, initially it's going to be like, you know, you'll give him credit. He had a fantastic year, but it won't feel like, you know, he did it in 16. But over time, we'll just get used to it, right? And the next generation will be like, that's the all-time leading rusher in a single season. But here's what I want to throw at you, Rob. Do you believe he's got a legitimate chance to win the MVP?
It seems like I should just say no, because I know Ephraim we had on earlier, Ephraim Salam, said no, it ain't happening. It would take something very extraordinary, or Chris, where you have, it could happen this way. Either he's off the charts, or there are three quarterbacks who are so good that they split the vote. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but here's the problem with that. They would split a vote with a running back, too. You know what I mean?
It's not like
people are voting by position.
No, I know, but I'm saying, if there's no clear-cut quarterback, the votes might get split up. So, say, I'm just throwing it out. Lamar gets 4. Justin Herbert gets 4, okay? Aaron Rodgers gets 4, Patrick Mahomes gets 4, and Derrick Henry gets 5.
Okay, I hear you.
That's what I'm talking about. It could happen.
Right. That's fair. I think, like you said, number one, he'd have to be extraordinary. He probably does have to break the record, even if it's just 17 games instead of 16. But I think, Rob, also, no quarterback, and maybe this plays right into what you said, no quarterback can have a spectacular year. Because if a quarterback has a spectacular year, he's going to win it. Like right now, Tom Brady's on pace to throw for 6,000 yards.
Right.
And we've looked at their schedule. It's not that tough. If he throws for 6,000 yards, 45 touchdowns,
and they're 14-3, then he'll win. Right.
He's going to
win with you.
But if no quarterback, obviously you're going to have quarterbacks who have great years, but if none does anything like historic and Henry does, he's got a shot. He's got a shot. And they got to keep winning, too. They're 4-2 after a slow start to the season. So, all right, it is the Odd Couple. Chris and Rob, we're throwing this out to you, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Do you believe that Derrick Henry, a running back, has a legitimate chance to win this year's MVP award? Your turn to weigh in with Chris and Rob, the Odd Couple. That's next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, if you're dealing with a dead battery, take my advice. Head on over to AutoZone. It's America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. So next time you're having battery trouble, head on over to AutoZone. It's your battery solution and America's number one battery destination. If you want to hop in, it's 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. We asked, does Derrick Henry, the running back, have a legitimate chance to win this year's MVP award in the NFL. All right, Rob, let's go here. They are announcing a all top 75 players of the NBA team.
Yes.
And right now, they have announced 25. It's going to be a three-day thing. So they announced 25 today or tonight. You want me to read them off to you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Giannis, Tiny Archibald, Charles Barkley, Bob Cousy, Dave Cowens, Kevin Durant, Dr. J, George Gervin, the Iceman, Hal Greer, James Harden, Elvin Hayes, Jerry Lucas, Moses Malone, Kevin McHale, George Mikan, Steve Nash, Dirk Nowitzki, Hakeem Olajuwon, Bob Pettit, John Stockton, Bill Russell, David Robinson, Oscar Robertson, Willis Reed. It's hard to argue with any of those.
I do have one issue with this whole list. I like the idea of it. Chris, you talked about it earlier when the show started. We were in Cleveland for the top 50, which I love. I can't believe that 25 years.
That's where I met. I met a lot of those guys that I may not have met. Wilt, I've right. seen Dr. J around the league at different times. Moses Malone was there. You know, there were older guys that I may not have seen, but got to meet all of them back then.
But the way that they're doing this, first of all, I would say this. I don't like that players voted for it. I don't
think it's
like
current
that.
Players, though.
Yeah, but I don't think players should vote for it at all.
Older players? Really?
Yep, I really don't. I don't think players.
Wow.
I don't think – this is just me. Because I think there's bias and where people live, you know, what teams that they were around. I just think that there's something there that makes it harder. This is just my personal opinion. Whatever right. they do is fine, Chris. I'm not the NBA. You saw this before. We talked about it when LeBron, 150 guys didn't vote for LeBron for the All-Star
current,
game.
Yeah.
No, but I'm just saying, but how could you not do it? Is that my point is that there are people who could do stuff like that that doesn't make any sense to me. So that's what I mean.
Let me answer that before you go on, because I know you're going to say a few things. I want to address this. I hear you, and we've talked about how when current players vote for stuff, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
All right, so stop criticizing the media because y'all be ridiculous. But, Rob, by the time they vote, it's former players, and you mature. You know what I mean? By the time they're voting, they're in their 40s, if not older, 50s, you know, all that. So they're older and more mature, and I think that helps. Now, you're right. It could still be some biases, but I think for the most part, they understand the importance of this list.
Yeah, I'm not.
And
I'm not
I think they take it seriously.
Yeah, I'm not trying to.
Yeah, I know you're not belittling the list.
Disregard the list. I'm not. But, Chris, you know we've talked about this before. Sometimes you need people who are totally devoid of the situation because, you know, like you were a Celtic and you're voting for guys who are on the Celtics because that's your organization. That it could be like that. Not even players. You know what I mean? Not even like particular players. But anyway, here's my point. When you told me that players who are on the top 50 list could be bumped off when they reshuffle and they add the 25 more spots, I have a problem with that. I don't think if you were on the top 50, you should be bumped off under any circumstance. I think 25 new people should be added because how do you go from being top 50 to out of the top 75? Like, you could be in the top 75, Chris, and be out of the top 50 if you did it that way. Do you see what I'm saying? When you're subtracting people.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, it does.
You're in the top 75, and now they squeeze the list down to 50. 25 people are going to have to give up their spots.
Right.
And I can get that. But you can't add 25 people and take people off who were on the original top 50 list. So I think that's not right. I don't like that at all.
I think that's fair. And I've thought about this. I talked to somebody yesterday or maybe Sunday. You know, it was yesterday. Who is a voter. It's a former player who's a voter. And he felt the same way as you. He felt like, look, it should be the top 50 from 1997, and then you add 25.
Exactly.
And that's 25 years. 25 players, 25 years. And I've thought about it. I've kind of gone back and forth, and I would say I've landed on the spot of I agree with you.
Okay.
Because what that would do is keep things honest. Like, there are a lot of players in this era that people might think are better than the guys back in the day, some of the guys back in the day, particularly the guys from really early.
Because they never saw them play. There's no videotape.
It's easy to dismiss those guys. Yeah, a George Mikan, a Paul Arizin, were they as good? But I was glad to see George Mikan still on the list. He should be on the list. He was dominant early on. And I get it. Would he hold a candle to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
No. But all those players
are
right.
But in that era, right, he was the man, and you got to give him credence. So I'm with you. And I just think, Rob, if you open it up, which they did, but I think they'll do a good job. But what if you got 40 players over the next 25 years? And some of them didn't come close to a championship. Some
didn't
of them, you know what I mean? They were really good. But so I think you – this would keep it honest, and then 25 years from now, it's going to be another 25. And that would give each era kind of its, you know, its validity, so to speak.
Right.
So I'm with you on there.
Yeah. If you're doing it the other way, then yes, people have to come out. But you shouldn't add and then subtract people from the original list.
It doesn't really make sense that I made the top 50.
But I'm not
but
in the
top 75.
I didn't
make the top 75. I agree. It doesn't really make sense. All right. Interesting one, Rob. Let me quickly say this. Dominique Wilkins didn't make the top 50. And a lot of people thought he should have. I would think he should have. So that's where maybe he makes the top 75. Maybe there's a correction in there. You know what I mean? Whereas if you just add 25, is Neat going to get in there? I don't know. I think they'll more look at 25 guys since 1997.
No, I get that.
And I don't know if Neat's going to make it anyway.
Right.
But I'm
he
just
still
saying
might,
that would
have
been a correction.
I understand, like you might say, how did he not make it?
Right.
They didn't win they didn't win anything. I mean, he was a great player. I'm not even knocking him. But, you know, everybody can't get in.
Right.
That's the exclusive club.
75.
Yes.
I tell you what, though, Rob, if you're a Hall of Famer and you don't make it, you're going to feel some kind of way, you know, unfortunately, but it is what it is.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, thank you, Ralph. We're live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Our next guest is a former NFL Executive of the Year, now Fox Sports Radio NFL analyst, Randy Mueller. Randy, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's happening,
man? We're good, man. Let's get right to it. We're running a little bit behind.
Yes.
Last night, 4th-and-1, Buffalo goes for it. Two-part question. One, what'd you think of the call?
Chris and I didn't like it.
Yeah, we both thought they should have kicked the field goal. But talk about the impact that the analytics are having now on the game, too. Because now, obviously, you see more teams going for it on fourth down. I said this, and correct me if you think I'm wrong. First 99 years of this 101-year-old league, teams kicked that field goal. But now, obviously, you're going for it more, and they went for it. Talk to me about that.
Well, I think I was fine with the decision to go for it. I really was. And here's why. It actually answers the analytics side of it as well. You have Josh Allen. He's 6'5". He's 240 pounds. He's going to fall forward for a foot, no problem. What scared me a little bit was when they lined up in shotgun and he had to go 6 yards in a foot. At least he came up and took the snap. And I understand he slipped, but he's not going to slip. They can't factor that in. I think you're right. I think analytics is so involved now in the way we're making decisions coaching wise that I just think this is a feel. It's who's in the game. Analytics don't take those things into account. Josh Allen's a big dude. He falls forward. He ought to be able to get a yard. I'm going to side with Sean McDermott and say I'm going to call it the same 10 times in a row, and I'll bet we get 10 out of the next 11 anyway.
Well, they don't do that well in the red zone. Chris, what is that stat, Chris?
Well, they're 26th in the league in red zone efficiency, 55%.
So down in
conversion rate. You even saw yesterday they had to settle for early field goals in the red zone.
How about this, though? This is what it told me. They didn't have any faith in their defense. They didn't want to turn the ball back over to Tennessee. They couldn't stop. And
they couldn't.
The fear factor, yeah. So they wanted to put the game away. They were trying to not turn the ball over to them on, you know, after a kickoff, and they wanted to run the clock as much as they could. So I thought it was a reflection of the less confidence in his defense than I'd seen to this point this season.
How about Derrick Henry? And, you know, we know that the MVP award in the NFL now is the best quarterback of the year award rather than most valuable player. But could he win it? I mean, he's a monster.
Yeah, I definitely think he could win it. I think he should be mentioned in it. And you know this reference because I hear it made all the time in basketball, Chris. They're 7 foot tall in the fourth quarter, right? Well, this guy's 6'3", 250 in the fourth quarter every game. So there's no substitute for that. And you see guys making business decisions to whether or not to go low on him to get him down because that's the only way you can get him down. And he just wears people out. And again, it is a big load, and he is a big man. And now he's catching the ball well, too. So it's not like he's a one-dimensional downhill between the tackles runner. He's doing a lot of things for these guys. They've just got to run the offense through him. I think it's their best chance.
What do you think of Arizona? I mean, obviously they're the only undefeated team left. They've had some great wins, Cleveland, the Rams. Excuse me. It feels, though, like most people have some doubt about them, just probably because they haven't done it before. But what are your thoughts on them?
Well, I think we've got to start taking them serious. And I've been critical of them in the past for two reasons. One, and I don't think we know the answers to the reasons yet. One is I don't doubt Kyler Murray as a passer and as a player. I doubt and has struggled with his durability for 17 games. That's where I struggle.
That's what we saw last year, right? Remember, he got hurt.
He wears out. And Cliff Kingsbury, even if you go back to Texas Tech, his teams in the second half have faded. And not the second half of games, but second half of the season. So let's see if this is sustainable. I agree with you. What doesn't get much play is their defense. Their defense is really good. They are doing things to get off the field on third down. They're impressive in that they're rushing the passer. They didn't have their best pass rusher yesterday, and they still came out on top. So their defense is way better than they have been. They're running the ball. How about this? The last four games, they've averaged running the ball 33 times. So the yardage they're gaining is impressive, but the commitment to it is what I'm impressed by. So it's a different Arizona team. Let's see if it's sustainable over the long haul. I still have some doubts about the adjustments that Cliff will make because defensive coordinators, some reason, figure it out. So we'll see.
Let's go here to the other end of the spectrum. The Lions got embarrassed at home, booed off the field. They're 0-6. I mean, the first team to go 0-16, they could be the first team to go 0-17. I know they're rebuilding Dan Campbell and the biting kneecaps and all that other craziness, but should they be this bad? Like, seriously, Jacksonville's won a game. Should the Lions really be this bad?
You know, I don't think they're bad, Rob. I really don't. And I commented one of our early conversations this year, I kind of made a backhanded remark about them, and felt bad for about a week. I ended up going back and looking at film, and I even wrote a piece on Mueller football to kind of rectifying what I said, just because it's not true. These guys have some players. Now, they have found ways to screw it up. They have found ways to make mistakes. I don't think it's a bad team. I didn't like what Dan said after the game, and that he kind of threw the game on Goff a little bit. I'm not a Goff supporter either, but it forced me to go back and look at the film again. When you blame people, whether it's players or coaches, it gives us as analysts a chance to go back and check your work. And so I went back and looked at the film, and they have some issues in design. They have some issues in execution. Yeah, Goff wasn't his sharpest, but there's plenty of blame to go around. But I really like the direction they're going. I hope they can get through this because now their defense is a mess. I'm not going to give them credit for that. But their offense has some good players. And I think Andre Swift is going to be a really good running back. I'd love to have him on my fantasy league. I'd love him to have him on my real NFL team. So I wouldn't get too discouraged. They've got to fight through this somehow, some way, and get a little confidence. Hopefully it's going to come soon because I really like what they, you know, the competitive spirit that Dan's trying to sell. Whether there's enough production at the end of it to make the guys believe in it, who knows?
All right, Randy. Great stuff as always, man. We appreciate the knowledge.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. All right. Appreciate See you next week. More iCouple coming your way. Keep it locked. Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it is The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And Rob, we were talking about this Nets-Bucks. Bucks jumped all over them early on, but now the Nets have rallied. And how about Patty Mills? He's the one they're going to call on. I wouldn't say to replace Kyrie. Obviously, he's not as good as Kyrie Irving. But they're going to, you know, his presence will soften the blow of not having Kyrie.
Chris.
Because he's a winner. He's a veteran. He can shoot it. And he hit 5 of 5 three-pointers in the first half, Rob, 15 points, to help get the Nets back in it. They're down 66-59 at halftime.
Yeah, I mean, they're loaded if you look at their roster. We talked about their roster. You think Patty Mills is some unproven journeyman or something? He's
a
really good player. And if you can, if he's in there, Chris, no pressure with those other guys there. He can just come out and play. And I'm telling you, they could have been buried tonight, right? The Bucks, the first night after winning the championship, their home opener and all that, they got buried early. They were in the game.
Yep.
They were in the game.
Yep, no doubt. But the nightcap is Lakers-Warriors following this game.
I like the way you say Warriors.
Warriors. Warriors come out to play. I know you saw that movie.
Yes.
That was a great movie.
Yes.
Especially when I was a kid. Yeah. All right. But anyway, and LeBron, Rob, we know 19th year. He will turn 37 years old in December. Has been injured in 2 of the last 3 years.
That's fact. That ain't making, that ain't no a hot take. Facts.
So he was asked about, you know, as he is pretty much every year now, cutting down his minutes. And last year he played a career low 33 minutes a game, Rob. And when he was asked about that, he shot it down with the quickness. Here's what LeBron said. He said, I don't play the game thinking about injuries. And I also feel worse when I play low minutes. Now, Frank Vogel, the head coach, of course, backed up LeBron.
He
said that actually in some ways, if LeBron stays over there on the bench too long and he gets cold, it's worse for him to get back on the court. Especially since he's been playing this type of rotation for so long. So I do get that. I mean, you stay over there longer, you're older, you can get tighter quicker. But what do you think about, you know, LeBron essentially wanting to play big-time minutes again, maybe 33, 34 a night for his
age? I disagree with it, and I get it. He could get hurt in the first minute of the game, Chris. So I understand what they're saying. But I do believe the longer you keep guys out there. You remember last year we talked about it. Chris, remember he's playing a lot of minutes early on when AD was hurt? And he was playing a ton of minutes. I'm not saying that that was why he got hurt later on in the season, but it just seemed like you're putting him out there with a chance of something happening. And that's not what you want. You want to be careful of a guy who's played so many years, 19 years. And I think it's good if you could. Last year, this is what we talked about last year. We talked about AD taking the lead, you remember, and letting LeBron come up.
Right, the torch would be passed. Right.
The torch would be passed. Let him, like, lead the team. LeBron would play, get some time, and then at the end of the year, he's fresher, whatever. But he couldn't do that because AD wasn't playing that well in the beginning, and then AD got hurt, and LeBron was playing way too many minutes, and then LeBron wound up getting hurt. So I understand LeBron's mentality because you shouldn't go out there playing like you might get hurt. That's not how you should play.
Right.
But he is older. He's got a lot of miles on him, and he has been hurt 2 of the last 3 years. That's just a fact.
Yeah, I like his mentality. And I get it. There's no doubt. The more you play at an older age – number one, you do put yourself at more risk to get hurt. And number two, your body might not be able to handle it. Rob, you know this. Guys retire not because they can't go out and still play. They just can't sustain it. They can go out and have a great game.
Right.
Right? Maybe a great week or two. And I'm obviously LeBron's not to this point. But, you know, they can't do it over an 80-game season. But I don't know, man. If I'm LeBron, I kind of feel like the same mentality he has. Like, look, he's still, I think, roundly viewed, Rob, as a top five player. And he's not at the stage that Carmelo's at. Or a lot of older players we've seen where, you know, they're coming off the bench. They're not close to what they used to be. He's still one of the best players in the world. So I get it. He's going to be out there playing starters minutes. And I think you go for it. If he gets hurt, I just think you got to take the mentality, Rob, of if I get hurt, I get hurt. You know, that's how Jordan, that's why, Rob, they used to play, you know this, they used to play 82 games.
No, I get 82, that.
82, like you've clinched the playoffs a month ago, and you're still playing in the last game.
I get that.
And I just think that, you know, they didn't think as much about, man, let me stay healthy for the playoffs. You just went out and played, and I think I like that in LeBron.
But the only thing is he does have to, like, he has an older squad, injuries. We saw, like, young guys can't stay healthy, Chris, in the NBA. Like it is a fact.
Well, our guy, Kerry Kittles, is always talking about, Rob, the pace of play now.
Right. That
right?
Is
you
got to
cover more ground.
This ain't when Michael Jordan was playing against the slowdown Knicks and Pistons. Right.
But you would get hammered back then.
No, you would.
It's a give and take. So
but you weren't running the floor like that.
Now. Right. Right. You didn't cover as much ground then. As you do now, but it was more physical. But I said.
The Dodgers just tied the game. Unbelievable.
There it is. I told you, Rob. Why you doubt me? You know you want them to lose because you don't want me to be right because you never will hear the end of it. Eighth inning, bottom of the eighth. Dodgers tied it 5-5. And we just got something special.
Threw the ball by
Cody
him.
Cody Bellinger. How
Cody
about
Bellinger? They threw the
goodness.
Ball by him, threw up a high fastball, and he took it out. Unbelievable. Yep. Cody Bellinger's had a terrible year, but the playoffs.
But a great postseason. All right, we got an hour left. I couple Chris and Rob. Lock it.